Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This channel, Trauma and Social Change, it's absolutely the moment for that, isn't it? I'm Steve Hoskinson. I'm the founder of Organic Intelligence. I've been teaching in this area of trauma, embodiment, and social change for about 25 years. It's an honor, really, for us to be sponsoring this channel where we're going to hear a multiplicity of voice, all unique contributors to our collective understanding of how to move from trauma and support then social change. Our unique voice in organic intelligence has something to do with a koan that I'd like to present to you, which is trauma means unintegrated resource. And that's a koan, and if you'd like and are feeling intrigued about that riddle, then tune in to the post-trauma system development course that we are offering here. The coupon code that'll get you half off on that is ENJOY. Now, enjoy this next presentation, and we'll look forward to another meaningful time as we explore these topics, trauma and social change. Enjoy.
I'm going to hand over to Colleen Larkin. Okay. Colleen's an embodied birth educator and a trained doula. Dana Doula. She's an advocate for change for sexual and reproductive health and a consultant for the International Planned Parenthood Federation. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Thank you to the entire team just for all the work that you've done to put this together. It has been just amazing around the clock. The conference participants, the support on the back end. I've just felt so supported and so held, and just want to really, really acknowledge everybody for making this possible. It's a real pleasure to be here today. So I want to welcome everybody that's here, in the session, those of you that will be watching this on the replay. I want to let you know that whether you are a birth worker yourself, whether you're somebody that's simply interested in this topic, or are currently pregnant, looking to be pregnant, I think that there's something here for you. So we're going to be speaking for the next hour, and I'd like to invite you to be really aware of what's coming up for you. So while I'm going to be speaking and sharing a message, your body is also going to be having a message for you. So I invite you to just pay attention to that. Pay attention to what comes up, how you're feeling. Maybe check in with yourself throughout this conversation. I also would like to just say that some of this may be triggering, and I just want to leave space for that. So I invite you to just take care of yourself as you need to. If you want to reach out afterwards, my information will be available. So allowing there to be space for everything. So welcome. And before I ground us, I would just like to ask you, and you can type this into the chat box, on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being I feel really present right now, I feel really in my body, 10 being I'm thinking about everything else I have to do the rest of the day or something that just happened, or I'm not really even here in my body. So where on a range, on a scale from 1 to 10, are you in this very moment? So for myself, it's a 6. Okay. Thank you, Richard. Great, 7. Okay, excellent. And for myself, it's early in the morning. This is my first thing to do here. I'm really present. I'd say 1 or 2 right now. feel really excited to be here. So I'm going to invite you to go ahead and close your eyes. If you want to turn off your camera, you can. So go ahead and close your eyes. And just allow your exhale to kind of drop you down into your body. With each exhale, allowing your body to sink into the space that you're in. And then with the flashlight of your awareness, internal flashlight, I invite you to bring your attention to your sit bones. And what do you notice there? Is there a sensation? Is there a temperature? Maybe there's a warmth. Can you notice your sit bones and their connection with the surface beneath you? Is it soft? Is it hard? Can you even notice that gentle pressing and release that happens with your breath? You can bring your attention to the buttocks and the lower back, noticing how that feels. Is there support below you, and behind you? And how does that feel just to have that simple support there for you? No. With your eyes closed, I invite you to start to just keeping your hands separate, just feeling your hands, feeling your fingers, moving your thumb along the other fingers, and just recognizing this body that you're in, that you're here with, that you've chosen to come with. And then keeping this sort of internal awareness, this awareness of your body in this space, I invite you to slowly open your eyes and just slowly taking in the room around you. Just noticing behind you. Noticing that you're safe in this space, in this moment. You slowly bring your attention back to the camera. Ready? Then, now I'd like to just ask that same question on a scale from 1 to 10. Having done that short little exercise, where are you? Are you in your presence, in your body? 1 being fully present, fully in your body, fully here, tending somewhere else. But we're wishing on the speaker. Okay. The nine. Okay. Right. And again, a one is being fully present, 10 is being someplace else. Okay. Two, three, beautiful. And Sarah, I just wanted to acknowledge, thank you for sharing what's coming up for you and really, really holding space for you to be here with us. And also recognizing that this is a really simple tool that when we're focused on our internal body, it's really difficult to also be external, thinking about the past or the future, being in a space of even fear. So when we drop into our body, that's a tool that we have. And I there's a little squishing sound. I'm wondering if it's raising this is helpful. Is that any better? Okay. Is it really distracting this sound? It'll get a little bit better. So that's just a really simple tool that you can use with yourself, you can use with women if you're working with them. It's just something really practical. Okay, so we're going to be talking about alienation of the body and birth today. And I was listening to a speaker earlier this week, Valerie Mason Johnson, and she was talking about our body as home. And she was talking about how if we were to leave work today and things look different all of a sudden, the streets look different, and we couldn't find our way home, how would we feel? What emotions arise for you, when you think about this? For me, it would be, if this were to be happening over a period of time, it would be a longing. It would be frustration, helplessness. That's such a good word. Yes, helplessness. So I love how she used this term, the body, lost. Yeah, perfect, lost. The body as home. And I was reminded, I lived actually in the country of Haiti for many years. And it's a country that I love, and I love their language because it's so vivid. It's such a visual language. And the word for house is kai, and the word for body is kai moe. Like, so my house, my house. And even the intonation that people use when they speak this, it's powerful. Like my house. And I just love this image because it's all encompassing. It's everything. It's all parts of us. It welcomes everything. There's room for all. And so what happens when there's trauma is that we leave our house. We leave our home. And this is happening on a really large scale in the birth world. Mm-hmm. Because it's too painful. Language carries so much. Yes. So what I'm going to be talking about just over the next hour, we're going to be doing some more exercises as well, is kind of how have we arrived at this place? I'm gonna just touch on that. How do we come back to our bodies in birth? And why does this even matter? Okay. So I wrote a little manifesto for myself that I was going to share the whole thing, but I think in the interest of time, I'm just going to share a part of this. So our bodies tell a story and hold within them trilogies of our own and of the generations that have gone before us. They offer us profound insight into the past and hold within them the keys waiting to be turned, opening us to her pure, uniquely curated wisdom. So this is part of my belief system. And so some years ago, now quite a few years ago, when my friends started to become pregnant and have children, it would really sadden me when I would hear, oh, it's really loud. I'm so sorry. Let me try without the phones. Is that any better? No. Yeah, it is? Okay. I think it's man, it's going on my computer. Let me see if I turn away. I live in Mexico and it's hot here, so things easily overheat. I'm gonna put my air conditioner on and see if this helps. Let me know if there's background noise from that. So without headphones it was better. Okay, so I would hear friends saying things like, or women that I would meet, they would say things like, when they were talking about birth, just drug me up, just cut me open. I don't want to feel a thing. And this would really sadden me, because here to me was this most miraculous moment, and they didn't want to feel it. So today in the Western world, we find ourselves at a crossroads where the current rate of unnecessary interventions is far beyond what it should be. And evidence shows that it's actually leading to negative birth outcomes. So here in the region where I live in Mexico, 40% of births within the public hospital are cesareans. And in private hospitals, it's 78% of births that are cesareans. And unfortunately, this is a microcosm of what is happening around the world. Birth is a normal event. It's as normal as walking, it's as normal as talking. And yet we do know that people do require some assistance. Some people require assistance with these things. And it's the same with birth. And we actually know that that's about 10%, not 40%, not 78%. Okay, I think sound is going to improve. If it hasn't already, I would love to. Maybe somebody can give me a finger wave. Is it any better? Or is it still distracting? No, it's still quite loud. Okay. I'm hopeful that it will get better with the air conditioning. Okay. I am hopeful that it will cool down, I think, with the AC. So before I go on, I want to also just define what I mean by interventions. And I just want to name a few of the more common ones. So there are the episiotomies. And this is where they cut the perineum, which is the skin between the opening in the vagina and the anus, so that really sensitive skin. There's the use of, yes, I like that. Maybe we could try imagining the sound as the whooshing of water. We have the use of Pitocin, which is artificial oxytocin to start labor. And then we also have forceps. Forceps are what they use to actually, they will, it's almost like something you would turn a chicken on a grill, except that goes into the vagina and they pull the baby down, and it can be very painful. And then there's a C-section, which is the cutting of the abdomen and the uterus to surgically remove the baby. So sometimes these interventions are necessary and they can be life-saving, but more often they are not. Each of these interventions also represents factors within the birth environment that are likely to trigger a protective survival response, which may lead to trauma. Unfortunately, most of us are usually only told about the benefits of these interventions, and there's also risks and many complications that I'm not going to get too into right now. But just for example, in the US, 75% of first-time mothers that are induced end in C-section. So out of all the mothers that are induced, 75% of those lead to a C-section for first-time moms. This is in the US. So how we birth, it impacts the life of the mother, how we view ourselves, what we're capable of, and it impacts the lives of our children, not just at birth, but throughout their lives. So I want to give just a couple examples of this. When baby passes through the vaginal birth canal, they are literally bathed in mother's microbiome, and they're exposed to healthy bacteria. But when babies are born by C-section, they're not exposed to this healthy bacteria, to mom's microbiome. And we now know that these babies are at increased risk for asthma, allergies, immune deficiencies, and even obesity. So this is just, you know, some really, mother's nature has built into her system a perfectly curated system to bring forth these next human beings. We also know that when babies are born vaginally, they are more likely to be put into the arms of the mother, where baby can latch on to mom. And this promotes bonding that the imprint will last a lifetime. Equally, when babies are born vaginally, there is an explosive release of oxytocin. This is more oxytocin than mom would ever experience in any sexual encounter. And this is to promote the bonding. And the bonding doesn't just happen between mom and baby, but those that are there for the experience also get a flood of these hormones. And when baby is born by C-section, the same flood of hormones is not released. So if we now know that the overuse of interventions leads to negative birth outcomes, then why are more and more women having interventions? And with few exceptions, these rates are on the rise around the world. The reasons are not so straightforward. And I would like to go into some of the less talked about reasons that are arguably part of a sort of collective trauma, and at the very least, colors our perception of the birth experience prior to ever becoming pregnant. So if we think about just television shows, how do they portray birth? What do we see? Pain, yes. It's sensationally negative, panic, yes, fear, exactly. Screaming doctors, drama, yeah, exactly. It's usually a woman on her back, like being pushed down a hall, screaming her head off. And what happens is there's nervous system transmission. So even if, you know, we can say, you know, I don't believe that. There's still this transmission that's happening where we are having this association with birth, even if it's, you know, very subconscious. Equally, what I want to say, I'm told what to do, not empowered. Yes, exactly. So equally, just a note for anybody that's not aware, a woman would never intuitively choose to birth on her back. It's probably the most painful position. And equally, when we get into a more vertical position or on our hands and knees, the birth opening opens by 30%. It also takes pressure off, and we're also working with gravity. So we're not even acknowledging the natural intelligence of the body in that position. Okay. So as women, there has also been this sort of dumbing down of information when it comes to sexual and reproductive health. There's a real glossing over of the anatomy. We know the word vagina, but are we taught about, all of the various parts? Are we taught that the outer vagina is the vulva, that the inner parts are the vagina? Are we taught about the clitoris, about the inner and the outer labia? So really from the start of our sexual reproductive health education, there's really just a glossing over of things. So this doesn't leave us feeling very empowered. And for me, it's really easy to understand why birth would be that much more of something that seemed like a foreign country that I would just choose to defer to my doctor's advice. And just to illustrate this point a little bit further, I did my graduate work looking at what adolescents know about menstruation prior to its onset. And what we are disconnected from our natural selves. So true. You're thinking in the direction that I'm going. So when I did this study, and it was a pretty big study, what we found out for me was shocking. So 47% of these adolescents that we studied were afraid the first time they had their period. 31% of them thought they were sick. 19% thought that they were dying. And 40% of these girls still felt shame and had not told anyone that they were menstruating. So this is something that should be celebrated, our womanhood, our ability to reproduce, it's life itself. But yet the associations are fear and shame. And these attitudes, these emotions around our bodies, around our sexual health, don't stop there. They continue on down the line, unless there's some sort of outside intervention that's taking place. So these are some of the things that, quite honestly, we're really swimming in, that we may not even think about how they impact our views of birth. So it's almost like we have to peel back from the culture that we're swimming in to really see and question our views. So on top of these things, we are now living in a really fast-paced world, at least most of us, where we're on our phones, we're on our computers. I even set an alarm on my phone to really check in with my body, because it's not always intuitive. For some of us, we may just be walking around with a sort of low-grade trauma, just a slight disconnect. And the point that I would like to make with this is that in a traumatized nervous system, or we may not even identify as that, but really a flooded nervous system, we're not able to take too much activation because it would easily be overwhelming. And for many of us, the idea of labor may feel absolutely overwhelming. And This is completely understandable. I really see this as an entry point and an opportunity to work with women, not only in preparation for birth, but we're also able to address deeper, more rooted issues. And to do this, we really need to speak the language of the body. Because birth at its core is sensual. And as women, we, many of us, have come to distrust that power which rises from our deepest and non-rational knowledge. And this is the space where birth lives. So how do we come back into the relationship of trust with our bodies, where we invite the sensual into the most important aspects of our lives, because it really is the same energy that brought this baby into the world is the energy we want to tap into to bring the baby out. Birth, not unlike our instinctive sexual nature, at its essence is not rational. It's primal, it's sensual, it's animalistic. And in order for any woman or mammal to birth, she has to feel safe. Same conditions that we need in lovemaking. Safe, relaxed, uninhibited, wet, and open. So we want her to be in her sensory world. And in fact, in labor, if any woman or even any mammal starts to come out of that sensory world and come into the prefrontal cortex or the more logical start of her brain, whether it's because of outside stimulus or fear, birth will actually slow down or stop altogether. So if this is true, then it actually becomes a calling to bring women back into their wilds, back into their undomesticated essence. But for the average woman, mired with histories and cultural contexts that have shamed her sensuality, degraded and dismissed her intuitive body wisdom, for this woman, it can be a long way to travel from her head back into her body, back into her home. And among races and cultures that have been marginalized and repressed, this becomes even more true. So trauma, we agree, has emotional and cognitive effects, but primarily it is a physiological process. Okay, so it's of the body. The trauma lies in our organs, in our cells, in our tissues, in our being. And until we release these charges, these traumas, within the physiological body, it's often very difficult to resolve the other more cognitive, emotional pieces. Because emotionally flooded systems, remember, they cannot take in a lot of activation because it's too overwhelming. So how do we help women to prepare for the immense activation of energy that labor and birth bring forth? Okay, so this has to happen one small experiential encounter at a time. And I'm going to draw from an analogy that Peter Levine has given us that I think is quite appropriate. So when we go to mix an acid and a base together, if we were to just throw them together, what happens? There's an explosion. Okay. For women who have been living outside of their bodies, this experience of all of a sudden coming fully into her body, because that's what birth asks of us, fully surrendering to this energy that is pulsating through her, this may feel like an explosion. So how do we support ourselves and other women in a gentle way so that when the moment of birth arrives, when labor arrives, she's able to surrender to this energy. So going back to Peter Levine's analogy, what happens now if we take the base and we add just a droplet of acid at a time? We add one drop and then another drop. There's a little fizzle and then another little fizzle. Yes. And what happens as we continue to do that is it becomes neutralized and there's this place of equilibrium. So working with women through the language of their bodies and the language of the nervous system in small titrated ways can be the alchemy that brings women back into balance, allowing them to make empowered decisions around their birth and enter birth from a place of safety. So I see this time of pregnancy as an invitation to be working much more deeply with ourselves, with pregnant women, than we currently are, because studies show that women are more adept to change and transformation during pregnancy and throughout postpartum than at any other point in their lives. So with the amount of time left, what I would like to do is invite you into a small experiential somatic exercise. So this is yoni breathing. And this is such a simple exercise, but it's very powerful. And what it does is, if we also have been disconnected from our bodies, then most likely we've been disconnected from our vaginas, you know, from our vulvas. And this is our first chakra. So most likely there's an ungroundedness. So this simple exercise can bring us back into grounding, and it's connecting us with our power center, because as women, this is where our power center lies. So I'm going to invite you to get comfortable wherever you're sitting. If you need to adjust anything, pillow, if you can make yourself just 5% more comfortable. And then I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And with each exhale, can you allow yourself to feel this moving down and out? Starting with your shoulders, moving down and out. And coming down, bringing your attention to your stomach. And with each inhale, I invite you to feel an expansion in your stomach, in your belly. And with each exhale, a contraction. So moving inwards. So exhale, the belly's filling up. Inhale, the belly's filling up. Exhale. There's a contraction as the air moves out. So feeling this in your belly. And this may be a very subtle sensation. And then you just bring your attention slowly outwards to your hips, seeing if you can notice this subtle contraction and expansion in the area of your hips. It may be ever so subtle. And coming downwards to the Venus mound, which is where your pubic bone is slightly outwards. Can you notice in this space the expansion and the contraction? Exhale. You're coming down to the vulva, the lips, the vagina. Can you notice in an allowing sort of way rather than in a forced way? The expansion and the contraction. And then coming down to the perineum, that skin between the opening and the vagina and the anus. With each breath here, can you notice the expansion and the contraction? And taking a moment to just honor this space, honor this life force energy. Knowing that this is the energy that fuels us, it fuels our creativity, fuels our livelihood in the world. Today we're going to allow this energy to just be there. And I'm going to invite you to bring your attention up to your heart. You're placing your hand on your heart. Connecting your heart space with this energy, allowing it to nourish you. And when you're ready, I invite you to open your eyes. And if you had to describe that experience for you in just one word, how would people describe that? You can write that into the chat box. Beautiful. Welcome home. Gently powerful, reconnecting, nourishing, pulsating. I love all these words. They're powerful. Thank you. Thank you. So this is one of the simple exercises that's of the body that helps reconnect us with our body. It's something that we can do with ourselves. It's something that we can do with women that we may work with. And this type of work over a period of time throughout pregnancy can have almost endless effects. It really is a way to start addressing trauma at its physiological root. This can support the discharge of maybe moms that have emotionally flooded nervous systems at a time when baby is attuning its nervous system to that of moms. Equally, it's important to know that when women are pregnant, if you're pregnant, you're signaling to your baby how they're going to be born. So if you're feeling stressed out on a regular basis, oftentimes what will happen is the blood will go it will go to the baby's extremities, the hands, arms, and legs, making them a natural born fighter. This is the work of Bruce Lipton. So baby will actually be born ready to fight or flight. And it's a way that we perpetuate trauma. So it's really our responsibility to take care of our nervous systems. This work is integral to the well-being of our world and of our children. So I just want to say thank you to all of you for being here with me. Thank you for the opportunity, to the entire Embodiment Conference team. And this is a way for women not just to prepare for birth, but to really reconnect with our power at its source. And this will forever change the way that we interact with the world and with ourselves. So thank you. And if we have questions, I would love to hear them. That's so great to hear, Mel. Excellent. Yes, any questions, I'm happy to answer. If things came up for you, if that was difficult for you, feel free to reach out to me. I have a website that you can write to me at.
Will we share the link for your website in the chat here?
Sure.
And I think a question just come in. Let me find it for you. I have a friend who is pregnant and is very disconnected with the body. She gets easily triggered, and when I invite her to connect with the body, also knowing I work with embodiment, she feels pressure. What would your suggestion be for me to act in this situation?
I think it's really important to meet women where they're at and recognize that their body does have a natural intelligence to it. And take the time, if this is somebody that you're working with and you wanted to, there's somatic exercises that I work with where I guide women into their body, similar to the one that we did. But it's really letting them take the lead because this is about them finding their power source, not us pushing and prodding them to it. So it really does have to unfold in a gentle way. So if she's, if this is something that she's willing to explore, that's an incredible start. And, you could offer this exercise, and this might be too much. This might be too much for her system, and maybe it's one thing to know is, working with the buttocks and with our feet is really grounding, just bringing her into those spaces to start. And then slowly, coming further into the body as she feels ready, letting her take the lead. And if you want some more guidance on that too, you can reach out to me.
Fantastic, thank you. I think often it can be tricky when you're working directly with friends too. So if there's resources that you have that we can direct them to, that sounds great too.
Yes. If you want to connect with me on my website, that would be great, because I do work with women.
Perfect. That's why. Colleen's link is in the chat here. And we have another question. What traumas would a baby carry from a cesarean section birth and going into an incubator for several days while the mother recovers? How can the baby, as an adult, work with this? Would you have any resources or suggestions?
So that's actually my story. I had a really traumatic birth. My mother almost died and I was in an incubator. So thank you for that question. Again, I think speaking from this perspective, this adult now probably has no conscious memory of this, but our bodies remember this. So one of the things that I've actually done is a rebirthing process. And there's people that work specifically with this. I can't think of the woman's name right now, but if you want to just send me an email, I can recommend somebody that does that process. And then again, working with the body, practices like these can bring up really strong emotions. And the beautiful thing is that we don't have to know where they come from. We don't have to attach a storyline. It's simply these cycles of trauma that actually want to be fully played out. They want to release. So sometimes you just might notice, coming into the body, this overwhelming feeling, and tears might come up. And it's this release of maybe a trauma cycle. So this working with the body, this exercise is like this, going into the vagina, where we store a lot of these things, can be powerful.
Thank you for that. I know these are all big things for people here. I think we might have time for a quick response to one last question. How would you work with someone going through a miscarriage?
Going through a miscarriage. So I think one of the needs that can be really powerful and really healing is just to be seen in our experience. And I think with the miscarriage, one of the things is there's no outward, many people were not announcing this to the world. So it's this grief, this internal grief. And first, if you're working with a woman, really holding the space for her to see her. You can do some imagery work, asking where she feels this in her body. What is the sensation? Asking her, how does that sensation want to express itself? And just by that emotion, that depth of emotion, being allowed to be seen, can play, with that, maybe one of those little drops that Peter Levine talks about, where we start to have this experience, lose its charge. That's probably not the right word that I want to use. But it's a balm. It's putting some balm in a way that's actually healing and not covering over.
Thank you.
That's a short answer.
So thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here, being so present and engaging with this today. It's such important stuff. Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you so much.
For a final word. And I'm just going to guide people towards some links. So if you want to carry on these conversations, there's the opportunity to join a coffee break session through the link on the website, where you'll land in a room with some people who may have been in this or some other sessions, enable you to share and exchange there. There's also our Facebook group, where there's plenty of opportunity for connection and conversation. And I think we've got Colleen's website here through the links too, if you want to make connection directly with her. A reminder that these are online for the next 48 hours if you want to revisit anything or to share the link with a friend who may have missed it. And if you want to go deeper with this and discover many of the talks that are on simultaneously, seeing as we're 24/7 here at the moment, you can upgrade. There are various special offers and ways of splitting payments at the moment to try and make this as accessible as possible for everyone. And there's going to be extra things that aren't there yet, like being able to listen to it in more of a sort of audio format, like an audiobook or a podcast. So you can get on with it that way if that works better for you. And notes and learning links, which sound awesome. I'm super looking forward to all that afterwards and carrying on engaging with all this stuff. So I will come back to you, Colleen, for your one sentence top embodiment tip.
Okay.
What would you suggest?
Oh, okay. I thought we were putting so like on a commercial or something and then coming back to me. Sorry. Okay. So what I would say is take the time to tune into yourself, to feel and sense your own rhythm. The wisdom in this space has been uniquely curated for you. That's my one sentence.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for all you've shared with us. Lots of thanks coming in the chat here.
Thank you all. And thank you so much, Emily and Steve. Did the sound get any better, by the way?
I think so. It was embryonic whooshing. We can go with that.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for staying with us, even with the sound.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a beautiful day, everyone.